whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Bruce in San Jose has this reaction to the most intimidating radio guest in America, Greg Cosell. Hi, Bruce. What's going on, man?
Yeah, hey, Willard and Dibs. I'm going to have to call shenanigans on both of you.
Why?
During that interview, Cosell asked the question, how many screens did they throw to George Kittle? Was that two? And without a heartbeat, both of you were like, yeah, yeah. Can we check Dibley's notes? If Greg would have happened to say three or four, I had a feeling you would have given the same response.
No, it was two.
It was two screens.
It was two, Bruce.
Two screens.
Can we check the notes?
He doesn't have the notes this week. He didn't do the notes. He's been under the weather.
So exactly. And you guys were, I don't want to say brown nosing, but.
No, Bruce, we do. I don't.
You tend to agree.
No, but no, because
Mr. Cosell.
Because he was right. Bruce, I don't ever do notes. We do this stuff from memory, and my memory said the same thing. That's all I'm saying, Bruce.
Okay. All right. I believe you guys. I believe you. Anyways, I think, the coaching staff overall is having a down year. And, of course, injuries, but every team has injuries. I don't know. I don't think Sorensen mid-year firing will do anything, but I don't know. I think he's my main – and. Special teams, I don't know. That's more on the personnel, I think, than the coach. But I think Sorensen may be the guy that goes first.
Well,
anyway, thanks for the call, guys.
Yeah, no, thanks. Thank you for calling, Bruce. Appreciate it. Here's what I mean by Sorensen and make or break tomorrow. I don't think that there's going to be any mid-year firing. I don't think that makes any sense either. You don't want to bring somebody in and try to start this whole thing over. Although, if they lose tomorrow night, I would argue that they are completely cooked.
It's mostly over, yeah.
They're completely cooked if they lose tomorrow night. But here's what I mean on the whole Nick Sorensen thing, because he's already failed to kind of like gather the troops, rally the troops, get the fan base excited in the same way that defensive coordinators over the last 6 or 7 years under Kyle Shanahan already have.
Well, Steve Wilks didn't,
but I tell you what, he had a lot more positive discussion around him than even Nick Sorensen has. I know that there was the Minnesota thing, and he got called out, but Steve Wilks has a really nice and long resume in the NFL, number
one. Well, he's been a coordinator, and Nick Sorensen's never been a coordinator.
He's
and Nick Sorensen was arguably choice number four.
Right.
Many people have said from Kyle Shanahan.
And the Niners had a better defense last year, right? They had better players. Dre Greenlaw was healthy. So I don't necessarily know about the whole direct comparisons, but I do think that Nick Sorensen right now, one of the things, and I don't know if there's anything you could do about this, one of the things that's holding him back right now, like, Grandy, can you pull some Nick Sorensen? Like, and just any one of your favorite Nick quotes, put that next to the energy of Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans, and it puts you to sleep. Now, does that make him a bad defensive coordinator? No.
Doesn't matter to me at all.
It may not matter to you, but that's not even what I'm getting at. Like, sometimes there is a little popularity contest to do with this, with the way a fan base feels about a certain player or coach. And Nick does not appear to be somebody who is inspiring anybody to do anything.
Well, because fans don't really know what's going on. And fans
but
don't
know. The players
know.
Aren't playing well either, Dibs.
Well, the players aren't playing. The majority of the players aren't playing. You lost Javon Hargrave, and you can say he's a bust of a signing.
Yep.
They obviously felt differently. They paid him a lot of money to come in and do a job, and he's been hurt. Fred Warner's been playing hurt. Nick Bosa's missed three straight games. You don't have Dre Greenlaw. Mooney Ward missed a bunch of games. So if you want to talk about Nick Sorensen, I think that it's fair to look at all of the people that he hasn't had on his defense. So if you want to judge him, you can judge him. And I'm looking at the numbers right now. They've given up the third fewest yards in football, yet they've given up the 21st most points in football.
Right.
So,
and we know that they've been bad at the end of games.
They've been bad in the red zone, really bad, and they've been bad at the end of games. And for me, you can be critical of Nick Sorensen, and I have been, and he's not D'Amico, and he's not Robert Saleh, and he's probably not as accomplished as Steve Wilks. We know that. But he's been dealt a pretty bad hand as far as what he's had to put out there on defense as a first-time coordinator.
I'm not going to disagree with you, but I don't hear a lot of people give that same grace for an offensive play caller who has been without Christian McCaffrey, one game without his quarterback, multiple games without George Kittle, multiple games without Deebo Samuel, and now multiple games without his Hall of Fame left tackle. So,
well, they still have hummed. Offensively, it has not been the problem, ish, other than the red zone.
I wouldn't say they've hummed. They've not hummed like both.
They turned an undrafted Jordan Mason into the second best rusher through the first seven games.
And then he can't get a yard in the red zone. My point is both sides are still solid, but not good enough, and not as good as they've been in the past. And yes, injuries are a piece of that puzzle, but he's also played a lot of games with Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. And
Fred-ish.
Well, I mean, it was 5-6 games into the year before anything even happened to Fred. So, and he was playing at DPOY levels. I'm not saying they're terrible. I'm just saying it has not looked up to par. And that's not all on Nick, but it is some on Nick. And the reason tomorrow to me becomes somewhat make or break, and we still don't even know if Nick Bosa is going to play, but tomorrow is his opportunity to really, I think, look good. Because it's one thing to have, and Gross Matos got player of the week. It's one thing to do all this and 2 yards at halftime, all the things the defense did. You heard Greg Cosell's first reaction. He goes, well, Chicago's not a very good offense.
Right.
Well, this is. You have not been able to get stops in the red zone and at the end of games when they've been absolutely imperative, except for maybe against Tampa. I can't think of a lot of times when you made huge stops when you needed to. Renardo Green's interception in Seattle. But it's been too much where you've had a lack of success in those situations. And so now you get two things. Actually, I'd call it three things. You get a home standalone game. You get the whole backs against the wall thing, which is what they said was so key last week. And you get, dude, really good offensive players. I mean, Matt Stafford, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, and Kyren Williams. This is a problem. And to me, if you want to show who you are as a defensive coordinator, and just a defense, let's put the players into this too. I really think that you have to have a performance to hang your hat on. They're running out of time to have one. It has to be tomorrow night.
They can win 40-39, and I don't think that necessarily becomes an indictment on Nick Sorensen. They can lose 9-7, and then we're not going to think, oh, Nick, great performance.
But I didn't say they had to win.
It comes down to a results situation.
I just mean whether or not this guy's going to be back next year.
He'll be back unless Kyle Shanahan can find somebody better. And if you want to go ahead and replace him, that would be 5 defensive coordinators in your 9th year. Already you're on 4 coordinators in 8 years, and all the people I've talked to around the NFL this year, coaches and front office people, continuity is a big thing.
Sure.
And we saw it with Alex Smith when he was the quarterback and you had a different offensive coordinator every year. And I know that that's more dramatic. An OC and a quarterback relationship is a lot more important than a defensive coordinator and a defense.
Yeah, it's one player.
But when you have a defense that has a new coordinator, even if the scheme is the same, as Stink was saying yesterday, every coach is going to come in and emphasize different things and coach different things in different ways. And so it's maybe not starting at square one, but it's not continuing what you've already done with momentum. So be careful what you wish for when it comes to coaching changes.
Let me say it a different way. When you're playing the Rams, and I think that this has historically been true with 49ers in this era, when you're playing the Rams, there is literally one main key. You have to get to Matt. You have to get to him. He's not terribly mobile. But as Cosell just said, when he's given time, he might still today, in his mid-30s, be the most elite thrower of the football in the NFL. He's certainly on a short list. You have to get to Matt. And what have they struggled with this year, especially when Bosa is hobbled? They have stayed so vanilla, and they have not been able to get to the quarterback. If Matt Stafford has time tomorrow night, they're getting carved. I can promise it to you. There's no way that they're stopping Nacua and Kupp and Atwell over the top and Kyren Williams out of the backfield and all those things. If Matt's got time, they're going to get torched. So he has got to find a way, especially, and I'm optimistic, it sounds like, The way I think that I'm hearing it is, quote, Nick has a chance. Nick has a chance.
Well, he's listed as questionable now, right. So but, that's better news than what we saw from sure. Mustafa and from Trent Williams.
But this may well be one of those classic GTDs, like it may be a game-time decision where they got to go through workouts before the game and then really check in and see. My guess is, I'm with you, like I think it's more than likely that he will at least give it a go.
Oh, yeah.
And see how it holds up, because come on, like we're talking about, this is it, man.
This is it.
Kenny Loggins, you got to go win this football game or else you're done. And so...
it doesn't matter if he's healthy in 10 days.
Well...
Honestly, if you lose to the Rams...
It's not about
Nick Bosa to make sure that he's really, really right for the game against, what, Miami? I think that is in 10 days.
In Miami,
so
yeah.
You're going to save him up for that? Well, it might not matter at that point. So
it won't.
If he's at all possible to be able to give it a go, you put him out there. And it's interesting because the first time you played him, you sacked Stafford 3 times, and he only threw for 221 yards. And a lot of that was on one big play.
Yep.
And so that was a game where you did get to him. You did make it uncomfortable. I know he didn't have Nacua or Cooper Kupp, and he had a bunch of nobodies, quite frankly, but you were able to get to him, and you made things uncomfortable. He only completed 16 passes, and you still lost the game. So you could have that same kind of performance, and you could still go out there and lose the game.
Of course you can. Yeah, like the Niners have turned it into an art form so far this year.
Yep.
But that, for me, is going to be the deal, especially if he's got Nick. Like, tomorrow, this has got to be schemed up. There have got to be wins. You got to make adjustments if what you're trying is not working. Those guys have got to get to Matt Stafford tomorrow night. For me, it is the entire game. Because what Matt has also done, particularly against the 49ers, is he's shown that if you do get in his face, if you do get in his face up the middle, you're going to turn the ball over now. Like the Niners have been very good against the Rams, especially in these primetime games. Think of the history under Kyle Shanahan. Big games against the Rams in prime time. It's gone well, and it's often because of a pick six or Warner, Hufanga, somebody makes a big play. I really hope that Nick doesn't sit back in this game if what they try first, because they're not a big blitz team, and so I'm sure they will try.
Fewest blitzes in football.
They'll try to do this pretty basic, and if it's working, wonderful, but if it's not, they've got to make an adjustment. Give you an example. Go back to last year. I think the 49ers, was this the Sean McVegas game where they kicked a field goal on the last play? And so
to cover the spread.
Right. So, but the Niners still won 30-23, if memory serves correct.
Yep.
And this was a game where the Niners got a pick because the ball, a perfectly thrown ball, bounced off of Kyren Williams' hands, and it turned into a pick. But the Rams were ahead at halftime, and the Rams were moving the ball. And I remember how I was feeling watching this football game. I'm like, they are not getting any pressure. Steve Wilks dialed up Fred Warner in the second half on a blitz, and he got a sack that essentially sealed the victory. And so that's all I'm saying. If this front four is not getting home, I don't know, man, be ready. Be ready with some adjustments, because that is the whole deal tomorrow night. They have got to touch Matt Stafford, or else they're going to lose.
Well, they did in the first game. They touched him 3 times, and they contained Matt Stafford in the passing attack, and they still lost. And I look at what the Niners have done for the majority of this year, and they haven't dialed it up. And even when they do blitz, they blitz a linebacker, and they rush 5. I can't remember too many plays where they rushed 6 and/or 7, which is a classic cover 0. They just don't do that. It's not what Nick Sorensen does, and it worked against Chicago, but this is not Chicago. And you got 7 sacks against the Bears and the Rams. It's tough because the way Stafford plays quarterback, he's almost blitz-proof because he gets the ball out so quickly. So if you are going to blitz, you almost have to bring 6 or 7 and really take a chance that you're going to give up a big play, but that's not what Nick Sorensen does.